Thank you, Dr. Tavana. Like I say, my name is Ken Hubbard. I'm a Master's of Science candidate at Mississippi State University, working under the guidance of Dr. Jack Barco. So we'll jump right into it. Spatial variations in soil chemical and physical properties are a primary contributor to low nitrogen use efficiency. This knowledge has sparked an interest in variable rate nitrogen application tools as a method to maybe offset some of these inefficiencies that we find. In addition, variability within alluvial derived soils that we typically find across the Mississippi Delta also have implications for this variable rate applications. And also red edge or indices utilizing red edge wavelengths may be more sensitive to corn nitrogen status and chlorophyll content than some of our more traditional indices, such as maybe NDVI or GNDVI. The primary objective today is to detect spatial variations early season of corn nitrogen status across these soils. And I emphasize early season because it's common for us to use a side dress application in Mississippi. So we want to determine that variability and detect it. That way we can get our nitrogen out where we want it, where it needs to be, early enough before we see that exponential nutrient uptake around the B8 to 9 growth stage. So just a layout of our field, let you know where we are. This is just west of Yazoo City, Mississippi. It's a 16.44 hectare field. We have a 0.2 hectare sampling grid resulting in 80 locations. I've also overlaid the soil mapping units onto this field. To just let you know what you're actually looking at, if you look at the top of your screen, that's the north end of our field. We're on a silt loam soil, very productive soil. And as we start to move south down through the field, we start to transition into a silty clay loam, a silty clay. And then as we get to the very south of the field, you can see a dark color starting to come in. We get into what we term a sharky clay, a very, very heavy clay. And also, if you look at the red boxes, we also have these four transects. We've established five N-rate strips, five separate N-rates, field length strips. If we've just continued to look at those boxes, we're going to transition into 2011. And we just moved over to four new transects so we can hope to have an equal response to the producer's management practices from year to year. Plant sampling, we went in at our early growth stages in 2010 and 2011, sampled 10 whole plants at each location. In 2011, we were able to sample N-rate locations for our plants, and I'll explain why we didn't have that in 2010, but we did have that in 2011 here shortly. We analyzed those plant samples for percent tissue N and total N uptake. Nitrogen was applied in the form of liquid urea ammonium nitrate, 30% nitrogen. There you see our five different N-rates. It also applies a 50-50 split. So these five N-rates that you see are our total applications. So they were applied in two split applications. Reflectance data was collected using the YAR N sensor. Now this is a tractor-mounted passive sensor, and with it we can collect reflectance at 20 separate wavelengths ranging from 450 to 900 nanometers. And what that does is it gives us a lot of versatility with the different indices that we can calculate and the different parts of the spectrum or different wavelengths that we can investigate. One thing that's kind of unique about this sensor as compared to maybe the Green Seeker and the Crop Circle and some of the other sensors that you've seen today is it's actually viewing the crop at an alternator angle. If you look at either side of the sensor, it's actually viewing at an angle at the crop at either side instead of a nadir view from directly above the crop's canopy. So it's something kind of unique about this sensor. I'm illustrating we collected reflectance to the V4 to 5 growth stage and the V6 to 7 growth stage. The reason I termed it like this is to let you know how much of a separation we actually have. Technically, it was the V5 and V6 growth stage. When I say V5, we were barely at V5, just reached it. When I say V6, if we would have stayed there long enough that day, we could have probably watched it turn into V7. So just to let you know how much of a separation it is, it's more than just a V5 to a V6 growth stage. Data collection, we've established the RN sensor 52 inches above the soil surface in 2010. Now this measurement is based on row spacing, plant height. It's an algorithm that's supplied to us from the YAR Industries. So the next year we had to raise it up a few inches to account for plant height. So that's why we have that difference there. We drove through the entire field, viewing rows 2, 3, 4, and 9, 10, 11 of each 12-row strip. And then we buffered that data out 30 feet at each location to compare to our plant samples. Like I said earlier, this instrument gives us a lot of versatility with the different indices that we can use. So we have a countless number of things and combinations that we can use, so I've just highlighted a few here. At the top of the screen, you can see some of our, what I term our more traditional indices, or RVI, NDVI, and GNDVI. Then I've also included some what I term red edge indices, and these indices are just utilizing wavelengths within and around the red edge. So we look at some initial results from each year. This is a coefficients of termination between our indices and our plant nitrogen, whole plant percent nitrogen from 2010 and 2011. If you look at CCCI's highlighted, that industry worked best, had the strongest relationship throughout both years as compared to some of the others. We had a similar trend in both years, but it was the strongest in both years. But if you just keep your eye on this graph, we're just going to move into total N uptake. We're going to be looking at, not the graph, the figure, we're going to be looking at the same figure. And again, our CCCI had the strongest relationship both years. Now, if you notice our N uptake between 2010 and 2011, there's a drastic change in our R-squared values. And we're going to account for that and explain that here shortly. Just to give you an idea of what these trends actually look like, here's 2010. Notice on the left we have CCCI on the y-axis, also on the right we have plant N on the left, whole plant percent N, and total N uptake on the right. And just pay attention to how this slide is laid out, because we're going to continue to see the same layout as we go through the talk. But you can see on the left, our plant percent nitrogen has somewhat of a decent trend against CCCI. And on the right, our total N uptake, we see that trend, but it gets a little bit tighter, so it's a little bit stronger with that. Now, notice that it's 2010 pre-fertilization. Now, the reason that is, in this year, we wanted to really push that stress and see that natural variability start to take place. So we pushed it off as long as we could before we put it, that initial nitrogen application out. But as most of you probably know, producers don't really like that, seeing a lot of yellow corn in their field. So we made him really, really nervous that first year. So the next year, he kind of put the pressure on us to get that nitrogen out at an earlier growth stage. So we had to comply. So 2011, we're looking at post-fertilization. And you can see our plant N percent, we really lost that trend after we applied nitrogen. However, our N uptake actually became stronger across a wide range of CCCI values and N uptake values. Now, these are our 80 original sampling locations, so these are all treated the same. Now, since this is post-fertilization, we were able to sample our N rates in 2011. So now we want to look at our N rates and see what kind of relationships we have going on there. Now, this is 21 separate locations with 5 different N rates. So we have 105 data points on these graphs. On the left, again, you have plant nitrogen against CCCI, and on the right, you have N uptake. As you can see, with our plant nitrogen, it appears that our relationship is actually stronger. We have a little bit tighter grouping down here at our lower values, our lower percent N values, and our lower CCCI values. But as we increase, we start to see some type of a separation. We don't see that separation with N uptake. It stays tight against a wide range of CCI values and N uptake values. So we want to break it down by N rate, investigate it by each N rate, and see if we can pick out what's actually going on while we're separating. So again, these are our 21 locations, no nitrogen applied, can determine natural variability. On the left, again, you have plant nitrogen. We have somewhat of a strong relationship, a relatively strong relationship. And on the right, we have N uptake. We still have a very strong relationship. But if you start looking at the data points, they appear to be clustering out into 3 different groups. I'll highlight those for you. So we wanted to go back in and actually see, where are these data points within our field? Are they? Is there a relationship between them and the soil mapping units or positioning within our field? So we look at an NIR image of our field. This was actually taken 11 days after the sampling date, but it gives you a pretty good idea of what we're looking at. And if you look at outline the boxes, our blue is at the northern end of the field, our more silt loam soil, or more what we term a more productive soil. So that's actually correlating with or relating with our higher CCCI readings. Middle of our field is our middle grouping, our middle clustering. We're starting to reach that transition zone, so our readings aren't as high. And then we move down to the lower end or south end of the field. We've had a large increase in percent clay, much heavier soil, and that's where our lower group of readings are. We do have one inconsistency right in here. But if you start to look, you can see somewhat of a diagonal line right here. And what that actually is, we go back and look at the history of the field, is an old road or drainage ditch that was filled in sometime within 2007. So that might explain why we have that inconsistency right there. But if we move on, we start applying nitrogen. Again, here's our 21 locations, but now we have 34 kilograms of nitrogen on these locations. But now it appears, after we apply the nitrogen, we really start to lose that relationship with plant percent N. But again, we have a strong relationship with our N uptake. But now it's really starting to break out in just the 2 clusters. So we go back and look at our field, and again, we see those same points highlighting. The northern end of our field is our high cluster, and our heavy clay end of the field as our smaller clusters. So it's relating to our CCCI measurements, or it's appearing to be. Now we move up to 67 kilograms of nitrogen. We start to really lose that clustering. I'll go ahead and highlight the points for you so you can see these are the same points you've been looking at. Again, they're on the lower end of the graph and the higher end of the graph, but they're not completely separating out like they were. We move on up to 101 kilograms of nitrogen. Again, we see the same thing. We'll highlight the points for you, but they're really not separating out. So it appears that as we apply more nitrogen, we're not seeing that grouping effect or that zonal effect anymore. However, if we move up to our highest N rate, again, we have two distinct groups. So we have to further investigate what happened on those two N rates and why they didn't separate out like our other three N rates. But what does that mean? Is that actually telling us something, or do we have a difference in response? Should one area actually have more nitrogen than the other? So we want to look at the field as a whole. And the graph is laid out as you see it on the screen. The top three points are actually the top three lines in that graph. The bottom two locations are the bottom two lines in that graph. So we see that grouping effect again. Well, I just took the first derivative and calculated the peak of these CCCI response curves. And on the right, I put in a little table to see the maximum N rate to reach the peak of these CCCI response curves. So you see on this transect, we're actually seeing an increase. As we pick up in percent clay, we're actually seeing an increase in our, we'll term it optimum N rate. But if we move on to our next transect, again, we see that same grouping effect again. However, we don't really see a response in N rate. Everything's pretty similar with our optimum N rate. Move to the next one again, we see that grouping effect, and we do see a slight increase in N rate as we pick up in percent clay. But not as drastic as that first one, but we are seeing a response. Then we move to our last transect. Again, it's grouping them out into two distinct groups, but we don't really see much of a response except for this one location, 67. But if we go back and look, it's right here on top of our old road or our old drainage ditch. So again, that might account for that inconsistency right there. We might need to treat that field that part of the field separately. So that just conclusions. Combined indices utilizing wavelengths within the red edge appear that they may be more sensitive to early season variations in N status, and also the CCCCI shows potential as a zonal management strategy. With that, I'd like to attempt to answer any questions. Thank you for your time. Thank you, everybody's ready to go home. Right. Well, those are just the ones I picked out. I could calculate an endless amount if I, really use my imagination. But I just picked those main ones out just so you could see some more traditional ones, the ones you're familiar with, like NDVI and GNDVI. And then I really wanted to focus on some of those red edge indices, so I used several of those. Yes, sir, absolutely.
So do you think in your technique, you're essentially measuring more just canopy density, or are you measuring the nitrogen content of the canopy?
I do believe that there absolutely is a biomass effect to it with the indices, and you see that with a lot of different indices. But when I go back and I compare the CCCI against something like NDVI or GNDVI, the research has shown that might be actually detecting biomass instead of N-status. They are different. So that tells me right there that NDC is seeing something different than, your more traditional biomass indices. So I do think it is seeing something different. But yes, I do believe there is a biomass effect to it. Thank you.